Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Revidab Motor Program. Alhamdulillah, we have once again an opportunity to be on air to try and assist the Ummah at large, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan to our engineer sitting there, Brother Usama. He's forever smiling, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan, Usama. And jazakumullahu khairan to all our listeners out there. Alhamdulillah, as I said, once again, an opportunity to be on air and to be assisting the Ummah at large. Alhamdulillah, I have a guest in the studio with me today, Brother Feroz, and he's going to remain anonymous, but he's from a dealership. Feroz is the name, alhamdulillah, most of you guys know. But inshallah, Brother Feroz is going to try and assist us today as well, answer some questions. We need to know from him a certain few things. But inshallah, all your questions also you can throw into the, or rather we'll say throw the spanners into the works. And inshallah, we will try and assist you with your problems as well. So before we go any further, I would first like to introduce our Brother Feroz. Brother Feroz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's an honor to be here, Brother Abdulhak. And I hope I've been of some use today.
Gee, inshallah, Brother Feroz, I am sure you will be of some assistance rather than use. It would be a pleasure, and alhamdulillah, it's an honor to have you with us here as well. Jazakumullahu khairan for taking your time out. Alhamdulillah, Brother Feroz has come from quite a distance. Inshallah, Allah make his journey return home very safe, inshallah. The numbers to call, inshallah, is 011-854-1548. And the SMS number is 083-287-0886. I repeat, 011-854-1548. Most of you who are listening to the program already probably know the number off by heart. But yeah, the SMS number is 083-287-0886. Alhamdulillah, Brother Feroz is rather, I would say, more knowledgeable than myself as far as buying and selling of cars is concerned. We are more in the mechanic field where we work in the workshops. We get to see the guys in the front very, very little, if at all sometimes, yes. Brother Feroz, alhamdulillah, we've been discussing many a times how to buy cars and how to sell cars and all these sort of things. I want to ask you a rather different question today, which I've been thinking of for quite a long time, and alhamdulillah, you made that possible for me now, is, Brother Feroz, we always say, how do we go about buying a used car? But my question comes in here now, is, when buying a new car, how would you go about buying a new car, or give us some sort of handy tips as to how to go about buying a new vehicle without getting ripped off?
Jazakallah, Brother Abdulhak. To start off with, I think any person wishing to purchase a new car has to establish exactly what they actually require, and then to determine how much money they wish to spend. And these days, most transactions take place on terms, on credit terms, and so we got to make sure that we are able to pay for that vehicle for the period that we're going to own that vehicle. The important thing, obviously, is always to find a car that suits that particular purpose that you intend to use it for. Often people buy vehicles for their luxury and they buy on looks and they buy what is probably the favorite of the time. But I think in generally we need to determine what suits the person best. And once you've established that, I think you could look around, and today there are so many ways in which you can determine what the different models are available for your particular specification, and then perhaps a test drive. You know, go to the various dealerships, establish the type of car that you want, ask for test drives, ask for the type of deals, and I think once you've set your mind on a short list, you probably then try and negotiate the best deal.
Jazakallah for that, Brother Feroz. The other question that comes to mind here, Brother Feroz, and this is happening rather regularly, I have mentioned it many a times as well, but I'm sure you can elaborate and maybe stand by my side as far as this is concerned. People buying vehicles, alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala make it possible for all those who need the cars. But it comes in again, you can afford to buy the car. Can you afford to maintain the car? That is a very, very, very important question, because we have many a times where people come in, you know, but I've just bought this car, I've got this problem with this car, and I never thought it would cost that much.
Okay. As far as that is concerned, I think a lot of passenger vehicles these days come with standard service plans. We just got to be careful. Some service plans, in fact, I've seen service plans go up to 30,000 kilometers. Others generally are 90,000 kilometers. There could also be 60,000 kilometer service plans. That would also indicate that for the period that you're going to use the car, it's time limited as well. It could be a 2-year 30,000, could be a 3-year 90,000 service plan. And if you buy a car with that service plan, generally you'd be fine. Lots of your vehicles, the standard brands that are well known, the manufacturers have very good service plans, good workshops, good backup, and you shouldn't have a problem. You have a warranty, and some of the warranties today go up to 7 years. In fact, I've even seen a 10-year warranty. So if you have a decent warranty, minimum 3 years, 100,000 kilometers, you really shouldn't have a problem with the vehicle, provided that you maintain the service intervals as they should be done.
Gee. This, I think, falls more on the used car side of it, Brother Firoz. Is, guys buy a second-hand car which they have now bought, someone else has finished up the service plan or the motor plan, the warranties are all over, everything else is done, and then they buy a vehicle, and that is when they sort of realize that, yes, you know what, to buy a car might be a bit easier than maintaining the car. But nonetheless, Brother Firoz, the other question that has always crossed my mind as well, we've mentioned it a couple of times, we've had some sort of discussions on it, but I think you are in a better position to answer this question than I am. And the question comes in here as to how important is it to read the service plan, the little fine print on the service plans, the motor plans, the warranties, and all these sort of things. How important is it, and what sort of different, if you can assist us on this, what different sort of plans do you have or can you get?
I think these are very, very important questions. But coming back to what you started earlier, a person would buy a vehicle, and after he buys the vehicle, it finds out that it is very expensive to maintain the vehicle. And I've seen that on more than one occasion, even from our dealership, where a person bought a vehicle, found out that the service costs on that particular vehicle are quite high, and actually came back and asked us to change the vehicle for something that was probably more within that budget. That's the first thing. I think regarding the second part of the question which you raised is service plans and warranties on vehicles, absolutely important for you to know what warranty is still valid, the balance of the warranty, factory warranty on the vehicle. You also need to determine what service plans there are. These service plans, warranties, are also linked to service records of that vehicle. If you bought a vehicle and if it has a service plan or warranty going 90,000, warranty up to 100,000, but the previous owner probably didn't do two services or three services, you would find that if you had a problem at, let's say, 60,000, you would normally have had a warranty, but because services weren't kept up to date, the manufacturer would often repudiate or waive, and for you would have forfeited your warranty. So just be careful when they say it has service books. Service books must be must be filled in by it could be a manufacturer, whatever the manufacturer. If it's a BMW, a Mercedes, whatever the manufacturer is, it has to be by an approved workshop, it has to be stamped, and it has to be valid.
JazakAllah for that, brother. The other thing that has come to my notice, as far as, like, look, I mean, I picked it up with the Mercedes-Benz. I had a client who came in there, and I said to the guy, the car should be under motor plan, it should be service plan, the warranties, everything should be in order. And he says, no, but you know what, I had an accident, and I hadn't repaired the accident damage with an approved, guy from approved Mercedes-Benz, workshop that does body repairs, and that has forfeited my service plan or motor plan and warranty, whatever it was. How true is that, Brother Firoz?
Yeah, Abdullah, I think a very valid question once again. The accident repairs on vehicles on days gone by, it wasn't all that serious where you got the vehicle repaired, provided that the repair job was done in a decent way. These days, most manufacturers, even your manufacturers that are not with the expensive units, not the German units, they also have approved panel beaters, a panel of panel beaters whom you have to have your vehicle serviced with. In each town, in each city, there would be approved panel beaters, and if you were to take it to any other panel beater not on the panel, irrespective of how good they are, you will, if the manufacturer deems it necessary, they could ask you to, you would forfeit your warranty and your service plan.
JazakAllah, Brother Firoz, for that. I have had many of those sort of questions and that sort of queries from people as to why do we forfeit this and why do we forfeit that and all these sort of things. Generally, Brother Firoz, the other thing is, I mean, I'm going to throw the lines open again anyways, because sometimes, you know, our callers rather ask me a question after hours instead of while we're in the studio. So I just want to throw the lines open again. The number to call is 011-854-1548, or the SMS is 083-287-0886. Coming back to all these warranties and service plans and things like that, you know, they do differ from service plan to motor plan to warranty. But what I've noticed generally is, for example, your brake pads are not covered. You know, those sort of things are not covered in the service plan or the motor plans and things like that. And then again, Mercedes-Benz has something which they do. You know, the first service, they will pay X amount, you've got to pay X amount. And as the year wears on and the mileage wears on, they then you start paying a bigger percentage on this sort of thing. Is there something to be concerned about, Brother Fields?
Yeah, I think some manufacturers, and I think they're in a very they're a minority now, have a stepped up service plan. As your car gets older, you would be paying more for the services as you go along, and that is probably, I think, one manufacturer. The other manufacturers have a service plan which is standard. There's a standard service procedures which is in the book when you purchase your vehicle, and all those items that would normally be part of the service would be covered in that service plan. However, service plans, and we need to differentiate between service plans and maintenance plans. Service plans really are what we would normally service the car for. Maintenance plans are completely different. Maintenance plan, for the period that you have the maintenance plan, it could be, for argument's sake, a 3-year, 90,000 maintenance plan. In that period, all expenses related to the maintenance of that vehicle, including brake pads, clutches, all that could be covered, provided it's not abuse or it's not accident damage. Everything else would generally be covered. On a service plan, your service items, as I said, are covered, but you would probably need disc pads, depending on how you drive the vehicle, let's say at 45,000 kilometers. If you take your car in for the 45,000 kilometer service, they've determined that you need your brake pads need attention. They will then give you a quotation, and you will then decide whether you need to take that or not. If you don't, obviously you do it to your peril, because then you're going to damage your disc and it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more. But those disc pads, and if it is the disc, you would have to pay for, because that won't be under service plan generally.
JazakAllah. Actually, what sort of my next sort of question that I was going to step up to is, what's the difference between a service plan and a motor plan? But alhamdulillah, you have explained that out now. And, you know, all the guys who don't have any sort of idea or are rather confused with the service plan, motor plan, and obviously the warranty as well comes into play, which we will ask Brother Firoz as far as the warranty is concerned. What does that cover, or, you know, how does that work, or how does that go about? But yes, very, very importantly, as Brother Firoz says to us, you know, it is important that we go to the dealerships. Unfortunately, yes, it does cost a bit of money to have your car serviced there, repaired there, whatever the case may be. But if you want them to really honor your warranties, guarantees, your service plan, your motor plans, things like that, it's very, very important that you do give them a call and say, listen, you know, there is something, you know, that I would just like to add on there, Brother Firoz, is if you haven't done the mileage, it is very important that you do an annual service. You know, that is something that may not be told to you or may not stand within your warrant, your service plan or motor plan. Obviously, most of us, and we are all, I can say, most of us are actually, how can I say, culprits in this, as far as, you know, getting our car serviced on time and things like that. We don't read our warranties, we don't read our guarantees. Our service books are laying in the cubby. Like I say always, you know, The actual handbook in the vehicle is just there for being there in the cubby. We don't open it up. We don't look at it. We don't see. If you look at it, as far as your service books are concerned, I looked at it in a lot of the service books, and I come up, you know, where it says the paintwork's got to be checked, all these things got to be checked. But if we don't read these things, if we don't go through these things ourselves, then obviously we can ask questions, and when we go to the dealerships, we are turned down, then we want to know why this dealership is like this and why the dealership is like that. But obviously there is some sort of homework we need to do as well. So, Brother Firoz, if you could just elaborate a little bit for us on the warranties as far as you know, the warranties are concerned.
Brother Abdullah, you said you're not really seasoned in this field, but I think you probably are even better off than I am. But let me say this. I think a very valid point which you raised again is that we often don't realize that if the car hasn't done the service, that, you know, a car could be a 15,000 service, first service, and you've only done 8,000 kilos, but in that 8,000 kilos, a year had elapsed. All manufacturers that I know of require that you service the car either annually or within that mileage that you have to do. So if you don't service the car in a year, and irrespective of the mileage, you could perhaps be very vulnerable to a forfeiting of that warranty, and perhaps some manufacturers, one manufacturer particularly, a Korean manufacturer, won't even honor your service plan thereafter. So you need to be very careful as far as that is concerned. You need to make sure that you have the annual service done, and you need to make sure that the parts that are necessary to be fitted are then done, because if, for argument's sake, you don't do the brakes when they tell you to do the brakes, and then you have a failure thereafter and it's a warranty factor, they would refer you to the information they gave you in the previous service, and you didn't comply with that, and so you may forfeit some of that warranty as well. So generally with the manufacturers, you know, it's so competitive, and they're so concerned about customer care, customer satisfaction. The dealers are under so much pressure to make sure that the customers are happy, and sometimes the manufacturers don't even care at what cost to the dealerships. So if you were to buy a car with a manufacturer's warranty, you generally have a manufacturer, a dealer, first of all, who should be concerned about the product, about his client, about the people that he's dealing with, and I think, to be fair, it's part of his responsibility to make sure that he keeps the customer with that particular product that he supports in good condition and in good health. But if you, for argument's sake, get to a dealership and a dealership just, you know, don't do their job, or they don't give you the support that they need, it's very easy to contact the dealership's customer care department, and I can assure you that you would get immediate attention, or as good attention as you would probably expect to receive. And the dealership, if they've been neglectful or been unfair, they would have to put their house in order.
Jazakallah, Brother Firoz, for really explaining that. It's just that one thing I would like to add before we go for an ad break. You know, the thing is, you know, we always ask the questions after. And that for me is a major problem. You know, you go into the dealership, you say to the guy, listen, this is what I want to buy, this is what sort of car I would like, this is the price range, you know, this is what I can afford, everything else that you put into perspective, and he shows you a vehicle, and there you go, you're happy with everything, but how many questions did you ask regarding everything else around the vehicle? That is, for me, very, very important, you know, because what happens with us, I've noticed many a times, unfortunately, it's not to do with the community-based thing, but because we deal with mostly our community people, we find that, you know, the people start to throw tantrums after they've bought the car, after they've had a problem, where things were not explained. I mean, Brother Firoz, I know I will never forget this one for the rest of my life. When I was working for Mercedes-Benz at Sandown Motors, many good few years ago, and we had a client come in there, and he complained that the Speedo Cruise is not working. And obviously, product knowledge comes into play as well. But I just show you how vulnerable and how gullible the clients are out there as well. The woman said to him that, no, you know what, you drive your car for about 15,000 Ks and the Speedo Cruise will start automatically working. Yeah. I've never heard of something like that in my entire life. And that, to me, has nothing to do with the dealership, but unfortunately, yes, it is sometimes to do with the salesman. I'm not saying that your salesman or anybody's salesman out there is weak or doesn't have the product knowledge, but it is, like I said, it's very, very important. You cannot do that to a client, and especially he's bought a brand spanking new vehicle. He expects some sort of service. Like Brother Firoz says, you know, you get to their customer center, and you know, inshallah, they will help you, they will. But the thing is, ask the questions before. So when you get there, you have some sort of idea of what you are dealing with, how to actually throw your questions at the dealership themselves, and see what sort of assistance you get. And obviously, you know, the dealerships also have some sort of something called a head office, you know, where you can get through there. You've got the ombudsman as well that you can get through too. But the other thing is, I would also like to put in perspective as far as the client is concerned. You know, we've always been taught, we've always been made to know that the customer is king. But sometimes, you know, it becomes frustrating as far as that part is concerned. Brother Firoz, I'm sure you know about this, you've experienced this as well. Customer is king, customer is king. Oh yes, customer is king. But that doesn't give the customer to come around, you know, before explaining himself exactly what has happened in a polite and decent way. You know, that I have a problem, I purchased the vehicle from you guys, this is my problem, how are you guys going to help me as far as this is concerned? It is 9 out of 10 times. I mean, I am at the workshop and I know. I also find that you get clients who will come there and start throwing all the toys out the cot. That, you know, it's like you almost owe them a living. But guys, you know what, as Muslims, we know, it is part of our deen. When we go in there to any of our dealerships, workshops, any place you go to, is to first approach the thing in a very decent manner, like a Muslim, and try and get an amicable solution instead of screaming, shouting, throwing tantrums, and threats that are coming about as well. You know, you get this, I'm sure Brother Firoz, you can tell me about this. There are many people who will come out there and threaten to do this, that, and the other. And yet the problem could have been solved if you walked into any other places where you have been dealing with a positive attitude instead of being negative. Brother Firoz, your problems regarding these sort of things?
Yeah, you raised quite a few matters there. Yes, I think we do have problems, and sometimes very embarrassing. People come in to the dealership, they speak to your service advisor, they are totally unreasonable. Customer is king, we have no doubt about that. You have bought a new car, or you bought even a used car, you expect a certain warranty from the dealership, and you expect certain things to be done. But there's a process, and you know, cars are cars, it's mechanical items. In fact, today, lots of technology, lots of electronics, and really, not one manufacturer can say that they've sold a car and not one of the cars ever came back without a problem. Sometimes the problems are small, and sometimes the problems get a little bit worse. But really, I think, like Brother Abdullah is saying, I agree with you, that I think if it's approached in the right way, the dealership is obligated to make sure that the customer is happy. It is also the desire of any good, reputable dealership to make sure that the customers are kept happy and satisfied. But it is very embarrassing, and sometimes we have a non-Muslim service advisor or manager, and you have some of our people coming there. I'm going to probably ruffle a few feathers here, but really it is embarrassing to hear some of the way that some of our people speak, and I think it's very disappointing. But yes, cars break down, and there are certain things that have to be done. Sometimes a repair requires 2 weeks, sometimes a week to be done, and we try as far as possible, if it is a problem with the vehicle, to give the customer a courtesy car. And some of the things there are also ridiculous. A customer would insist that he gets a full tank of petrol. He even insists that while he's using the car that you give him, the courtesy car, that you give him the fuel for the period that he's using the car. And you tell him that, but you would be using your car, and you would probably use fuel on your car. And he said, no, you got to fill in the fuel. So we have these hassles, we have people, but we have to work around them. Sometimes you give in and you just let it ride, and you just hope that somehow sanity prevails.
Gee, jazakallah for that. You know, Brother Firoz, it is not only with your guy, with you people that sell vehicles or whatever the case may be. The other thing I always bring to the notice of people out there is, you know, for example, if we look at a motor vehicle, the amount of time, money, and men you know, men or man or whatever you want to call it, engineers, from the beginning of the time of when they decided to manufacture a vehicle, you know, the process is so long, so tedious, so many engineers are involved. When I say engineers, I mean these guys are highly qualified people who specifically work on only certain items. So you, when you look at a vehicle, it's not one engineer that has designed and manufactured and gone through the whole process. No, your engine is somebody else, your cylinder head is somebody else, your pistons is probably somebody else. Your electronics, part of your electronics is this guy. Part of the electronics, that team. When you add up all these teams, there's about 100, if not more.
Yeah, many.
And many, many engineers involved in manufacturing this vehicle. And the unfortunate thing is when you come to the workshop, one Changu Mangu like me has got to know everything those engineers have thought about. So I think it's a very, very valid point that we also be a bit reasonable. Alhamdulillah, we also make mistakes. We are also human beings, like Brother Firoz says. The car is a car. There can be faults with it. There could be problems with it. But today I'm not here to cover any of the dealerships or the mechanics that work out there or to be on their side. But yes, it is becoming a noticeable trend that this is becoming a major problem as far as this is concerned. And, you know, we are Muslims. We should know how to handle ourselves. If a guy, okay, he doesn't come to the party, then you've got to take further steps. But have you approached it in the correct manner? Have you looked at everything in the correct way? I mean, for example, I also wait for parts sometimes. They tell you 2 weeks, sometimes even 6 weeks. You know, it depends where it's coming from, how it's going to get there, what's going to happen. But then again, as far as the mechanic is concerned, and the workshops, and the dealerships, I think it is important that they actually do communicate with the client on the regular basis. You know, sometimes I even tell my clients, I says, you know, even if you lie to me, it's fine, but tell me something. So, you know what, it puts my mind at ease that, you know what, there is somebody that's showing some sort of interest in my vehicle or taking interest in my problems or whatever the case may be. Because today out there, with the way we live, with the way we, you know, the life we have, the unfortunate thing, you know, it's a rat race, but I always tell the guys, the rats only win. We're never going to win. That's for sure. But at the end of the day, it is also the onus on the dealerships or the workshops or whoever they are is to keep communicating with the client and saying, listen, you know what, brother, this is what we have, this is where the problem lies, and I'm sure, inshallah, that should be able to solve some of our problems, Brother Firoz.
Yes, Abdulaki, I think you're so right, and unfortunately, even we are guilty at our dealership from time to time. It upsets me to no end, but we if a vehicle has to stay overnight and sometimes for an extended period in the dealership, the client should be getting an update as to when or what is happening with his vehicle. Sometimes it could be a part that may take 3 or 4 days, and I say to my service advisors, please call the customer if you can every day and say the part has still not arrived and we're expecting the part in 4 days or 5 days. Generally, customers, when you get back to them, you explain to them, they may be upset, they inconvenience them. We must understand, they bought a new vehicle and they inconvenienced. And so they could be upset, but they also understand. The majority of your customers understand, they accept that. You know, in terms of satisfying customers, just an interesting point I need to say. You know, we have a company called Ipsos who monitor the satisfaction of customers, and they also do various surveys. And one of the things that they found is that the customer to satisfy the most difficult to satisfy is the young person between 23, 24 and 37, and he's probably the Indian colored and African more than anyone else. And that's the yuppie age, and there's this thing about almost like an entitlement. I bought a new car, and the car should have been perfect, and there's not any reason. Once a person becomes a bit older, generally, they become a bit more mature, more understanding, and we find that it's easier to satisfy them.
Gee, your brother feels very, very important. It's mental maturity. Yes, I understand. You know, that is there. And unfortunately, yes, this is what the society we sort of live in. Everybody expects a brand spanking new vehicle to be, perfect, without any hassles, without any problems. You know, I should be able to get into the vehicle and do anything I want. And the dealership will then sort it out. Just see there's an SMS coming through. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah for a lovely program. I just needed to know if I have my cylinder head reconditioned, is it necessary to set the tappets? Okay, brother, it's very, very important that you be able to tell me what vehicle that is, but I will give you a brief explanation very, very quickly as far as the tablets are concerned. Yes, it depends what is being done on your cylinder head. Obviously, I personally would feel, and I'm sure Brother Firoz is going to be behind me all the way with this one, is if you do remove the cylinder head, you go all the way, have a complete recondition done on the on the cylinder head. Most of the older vehicles, yes, you had tepid adjustments to do, which that was not done by the engineering works themselves. Nowadays you have the hydraulic tepids, which a lot of people refer to as self-adjusting tepids and things like that. You know what happens there is what, like for example, you know, you won't believe it, brother, I've just got a Nissan X-Trail in the shop at the moment. I'm busy with the cylinder head, the poor guy from Maputo, and we have what they call shims, and that is done by the engineering because it's a very precise measurement on that, you know, for performance, for efficiency, and as well also, for the noise.
Also, yes, I see. Also, if it's an old vehicle, there would be wear on the valves and so forth. So they have to compensate for that as well. So there would be that.
That basically falls in the basket of the engineering works. They will obviously reface the valves and check the clearances and reset the clearances with the shimming and everything else. Then the other one is the hydraulic tappets as well. But like Brother Firoz says, you know, as the vehicle ages, obviously you have wear and tear on these sort of things. And yeah, it is the onus on the engineering works to have a look at that, to make sure that is all in order, valve guides, valve stem seals, everything's got to be done. And yes, as far as the older vehicles are concerned, it is then the mechanics or the technician's job to actually set the reset tappets on those vehicles and things like that. So yeah, it is rather necessary. You know, if you're going to do it the other way, for example, just skim the head and put it back, it's a shortcut way. It's going to come back to bite you. Don't take any shortcuts because Alhamdulillah today Morana gave us a very, very good bayan in our masjid today, and he says, you know, one of the advices that was given to someone is there are no shortcuts in life. Don't take a shortcut.
I think if I may interrupt,
with pleasure.
I think when you've taken your cylinder head off or you've replaced your cylinder head, it is a major job. There is quite a bit of labor involved. To then say that you're going to do it without grinding the valves, without doing an adjustment on the valves and so forth, I think it is short-sighted. Provided, obviously, there are many people who are probably it's probably so tired of their vehicle, they want to get rid of the vehicle and they just want to put the thing back and minimize the expenses. Well, then that's a different matter. But I think if you want the vehicle to really be going perfectly, then you need to set the tappets, you need to make sure that all the valve stems and everything is in place before you...
I see, Brother Osama, my engineer, says that we got a caller on line one. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Who am I speaking to?
Amin.
Amin, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Where are you calling us from, Brother Amin?
From Mayfair West.
Jazakallah. Brother Amin, your question?
I have a Toyota Hilux 2.4D.
Right. What year model is it, brother?
2003. Now, the coolant water color is like pinkish.
Yes.
I don't know if that's normal or not.
Okay. All right. You got another question on top of that?
It's standing on about 90,000 kilos now.
Yes.
And the 2000, that's the original mileage.
Yes, lovely. That's you hardly using the vehicle.
I'm hardly using it. Yeah,
maybe I must come and see you and buy it off you.
10,000 service, is that normal that you do it on a 10,000 kilo service?
Look, there is, as we said, a service interval, specific service intervals for these particular vehicles, depending on obviously diesel, petrol. If you look at your service, your handbook in your vehicle, or you look at your service book, it will give you an indication as to what the service intervals are on those particular vehicles.
If I interrupt, I mean, if it's 13 years old already and he's only done 90,000, so if you take the annual services, it must be 10,000 kilometers at least. So yes, perfectly.
That's exactly what I was working to. But nonetheless, yes, like I was going to say to you, do the annual service on it, and that would obviously be 9 years, 13 years, 9,000. Right, so you're covering basically 10,000 kilometers a year, which I would suggest you do it punctually on 10,000 every year.
Yeah, the coolant color.
Yeah, I'm coming back to the
doesn't matter.
Yeah, coming back to the coolant color, they do differ from vehicle to vehicle, from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Oh,
I think Toyota is going pink, so yes, you will have a reddish pink color in your radiator as far as that is concerned. I recall back in the day, Mercedes-Benz used to have a green one, then they went to a clear one. As far as Nissan is concerned, I stand to correction, but I think it is green on Nissan. What is important? What is important? Don't go buy a green one from Nissan and put a pink one from Toyota together with that. Stick to what your manufacturer actually does specify for you.
Yeah.
And obviously the other thing is, I hope you have had your coolant replaced at least twice since you got the vehicle, because I think it's anything between 3 and 5 years. It is important because the coolant also loses its properties and you could result in having corrosion in the vehicle and things like that. So
okay.
That is, yeah, that is, if I hope I've answered your question to the best of my ability. And inshallah, you go well. Jazakumullah khairan for the call, my brother. You're welcome.
Abdurrahman, if I may just interrupt as well. Manufacturers have specific viscosities and that in the coolant. So they must make sure that particular vehicle has that particular coolant. In days gone by, you just took a coolant and you pumped it into the radiator. These days, some vehicles require, even within the manufacturer, within the Nissan franchise, mm-hmm. there are some vehicles that have a particular antifreeze, and then other vehicles with some other antifreeze. So we just got to make sure that coolant is specific for that particular vehicle.
Yeah, the other thing, Brother Firoz, I'd like to also add on to the for the listeners here, is that, guys, don't just go throw in a coolant and say, my onboard screen says I short of coolant. The coolant has to be also of the proper ratio as far as that is concerned. So, you know, generally when the guys have a coolant leak in the vehicle or things like that, my advice has always been, guys, just add water until you take it to the dealership. Because by adding coolant, first of all, you're wasting the coolant. It's a lot more expensive than water is. And when the dealership or the mechanic or whoever is going to work on that particular vehicle is obviously going to drain the system and work on it, so you're going to lose that coolant there as well. So, you know what, guys, it's important. When it comes to water leaks, coolant levels, these sort of things, it's rather urgent to look at them. Because otherwise, you know, maybe for example, all right, today we can't say a $50 repair, but a $500 repair, if you don't do it now, could in a couple of days' time, or even in a couple of hours' time, could cost you 20,000 rand to have the cylinder head done. I mean, I know I did a Toyota Prado a couple of weeks ago, and believe it or not, it takes 16 hours to do a job like that. And yeah, it can cost you a packet. So guys, whatever happens there, don't carry on driving and say, you know, I'm just putting coolant in. Because if you put clear, neat coolant, only coolant in the vehicle, remember something, that coolant is going to hold that heat as well. And it could actually, you know, make your overheating problem more serious than it actually is. So guys, when it comes to coolant and all these sort of things, pick up the phone the dealership. I'm sure none of the dealerships or your workshops or mechanics, you know, the guy around the corner, Pete Pompey, whoever you want to call him, you know, you tell him you've got quite a water leak on the vehicle, or coolant is, you know, you're losing a fair amount of coolant very, very quickly. He's not going to turn you down and say, you know what, guys, I don't have the time, or this or that or the other. If you've been servicing with him on a regular basis, or you've been a good client, I'm sure he's going to stop, not going to stop, obviously, everything, but he's going to tell you, bring the car in as soon as you can, and we'll have a look. And that could be a preventative measure, spending, instead of 500, as I said, 20,000 rand.
If I could just add to that, I think you mentioned something that's very, very valid. You know, some of our cars are absolutely reliable, particularly if I can think of some of the cars that we are used to, the Toyota Cressida, Camry, and, well, generally Japanese vehicles, but also most of the manufacturers today have radiators that are aluminium. And the car could be going perfectly well. It could have been serviced maybe at 150,000 kilometers, and it was well and good at that time. 5,000 kilometers down the line, the radiator starts leaking, and that often happens. And you don't realize that. If you're not checking the water, you may find that you're losing water, the engine overheats once, and like Abdullah says, it could be not only the 20,000, it could sometimes be 130,000 rands repair on that car. So it is very important to make sure that you check your water regularly in your coolant and make sure that it is always up to you. When you start losing, you must immediately address that, and I think it's often an error that costs a lot of money later.
I see Brother Usama is waving his arms there, telling me that we've got another call on line one. It seems to be a popular line. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Abdul Haq.
How are you, brother?
Allah shukr. Your side?
I'm speaking to, alhamdulillah.
Farhad.
Farhad. Brother, you calling us from?
Akenoff.
Akenoff. Okay. Brother, your question?
Abdul Haq, I've bought a VW Touran, man.
G.
VW5 model.
G.
Car is in a very good condition and everything, but it has a steering fault on the car, like, you know.
Okay.
Power steering. It's got the electronic power
steering. Yeah, the electronic power steering, those vehicles, yes.
Basically, it went into the failure, like, you know.
All right.
And the thing is this year, there is a second in steering available. The car was bumped from behind.
Okay.
But now I'm not so sure whether I can purchase the steering rack, because mm-hmm. the diagnostic showed the steering rack is failed, like, you know.
Okay.
The actual steering rack is failed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure whether I can purchase the steering rack, or do I, and just fit it into the car, or do I have to make sure that the part number is the same?
Okay. Your diagnostics was done, obviously, by a mechanic who's got one of these at VW themselves.
Yeah.
And they said to you that you need to replace the steering rack.
Steering rack, yeah.
Okay. Look, it sounds very fair in a way to me, yes, but as far as my experiences with the VWs, especially the steering problems where the light comes on and you've got a problem on your steering, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Have you checked the fuses on top of your battery?
Top of the battery?
Oh, yes.
No, we haven't checked.
Okay, all right. Before you go purchasing a steering rack and everything else, I would suggest you go to your vehicle. There's a little cover, a black cover on your battery itself. You open up there, just make sure that your fuses are all okay. If they are okay, then obviously you're going to look at the steering rack. Yes, you can purchase the steering rack. Yes, you can fit the steering rack in, provided it's in good condition. Have someone to have a look at it, make sure that there is no additional play and everything else. And
the
obviously...
The steering rack that I want to purchase is actually from car that's bumped from the rear, you know?
Yeah. No. I fully understand all that. But remember something, when a vehicle is bumped from anywhere, it can have an effect on a steering as well. So before you purchase this thing, get somebody who is professional enough to have a look at it. And the other thing you could do is also find out, is there any sort of repair that can be carried out on your steering rack? Because there are companies out there who do repair steering racks. So, you know, you've got to look at this and do a comparison as far as your prices are concerned before going out and purchasing one of these things.
So even if the part number is not the same, it should work in the car.
It should work in the car. Obviously, it's got to be the same vehicle. And obviously, if possible, the same year model, the same size as well as far as the engine is concerned, everything else. But as I said to you, brother, don't just go out purchasing one of these things. Do some homework. Make a couple of calls, to companies who do repair these things, what it's going to cost you. And then obviously also you've got to ask the guy who you are purchasing the thing from is, once it's fitted in the vehicle, if I do have a problem, the light comes on or stays on, and there's something wrong with your steering rack, or what are we going to do about it then? Because once you've purchased it, unfortunately from the scrapyards, you purchase it and you walk out, 9 out of the 10 guys are going to tell you, sorry, you know what, once you walk out the door, there's no warranty.
Yeah, this guy says he can give me a 7-day.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. If he says that, Faradba, then that's not a problem. I think. But what Abdullah is saying is, find out what the cost is of repairing the one we have, as against the one that we're purchasing. Because then the other factor also is that the electron, it's an electronic steering pump, steering rack, and so. What he's saying is, just check the electronics. You know, when you go to a dealership, and if it could even be our dealership, our technician may tell you need to replace your rack and pinion. But it could be something, like he says, a fuse or something, because diagnostics only says that there's a problem on your rack and pinion, it has to be replaced. Meanwhile, the rack and pinion itself may be right, but there could be a problem with your wiring or even just the fuse.
I hope we've been of some help to you, Brother Farhad.
No, Jazakallah, Abdullah. What I want to say, any people that you know that does the steering rack repair?
Unfortunately, not offhand, brother, not offhand.
There's a place in Randburg.
I think there is a place in Randburg, but you know what, if you go into your telephone directory, you will probably see, especially on the yellow pages and things like that, you will find these guys out there. Otherwise, just Google it. You know, Mufti, Google is there, so you shouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay, Jazakallah.
I hope you have some assistance. Jazakallah for your call.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah for the program.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Firas, the other thing is, you know, when we spoke to Brother Farhad, and it brings quite a pertinent point to the front, you know, as far as the diagnostics are concerned. You know, people go out, have a diagnostic done, and they believe hard and fast that that is the problem. What we do say this regularly to people out there is, guys, the diagnostic only tells us there's a problem between point A and point B. Ma for that. And obviously we got to go in and have a look at between point A and point B. Sometimes it may give you a very, very accurate sort of reading. For example, if you look at the Mercedes-Benz C-Class, the 200s, well, I'll refer to them as the 271 engines, the C200 compressor, the C180 compressor as well. They have erratic idling and things like that, and the client comes in and you put the diagnostics on there, and it says continuous camshaft adjustment. And the guy says, you know what, I think I need to change my camshaft sensor. And I can guarantee you, Brother Phils, from experience, alhamdulillah, the 10 out of 10, it is never the camshaft sensor. It is always the timing chain and the gears were worn.
Yes.
And the car was continuously trying to adjust the timing to get it to the right timing. So it was not the sensor that was faulty, it was actually a mechanical failure. So guys, when you go out there, somebody gives you some sort of indication. I'm not saying people are lying to you or cheating you or stealing or doing anything like that. Tomorrow, don't quote me anywhere, please. But what we have from experience is we've learned that, you know, it's not necessarily that very particular thing that is giving you the problem. So be very, very wary when you have one of these things done. I think go for a second opinion, if not third opinion as well. There's nothing wrong with that, because you're going to spend quite a bit of money on that.
You know, generally these days your technicians are, they're here to replace parts. And as if the manufacturer is paying for it, I suppose it's not a problem. But if we have to pay for the part, I think let's just be circumspect and determine what it is. Because often it would say, for argument's sake, the vehicle's not getting enough fuel, and it would say fuel pumps. And when you look at it, there could have been a leak on the hose, it could have been a blockage somewhere, and you would be replacing the pump, and it may just come right, because when they changed the pipe and they put everything back, it was okay, and you think it was a pump, but it wasn't the pump, you know. It was just the hose that was leaking or something.
Yeah, you see, Brother Firoz, you know, unfortunately we're running out of time here, but, you know, just guys, you know, whatever it is, whether you're purchasing a car, you're having your car repaired, whatever it is, please ask questions up front. Ask questions up front. So when you get back and you get told you've got to pay X amount, you know what you're paying for. So it's very, very important that we ask questions, we see, we get some sort of information from people around us and take it from there. Brother Firoz, Jazakumullah Khairan, it is really, really a pleasure and an honor having you here. And you've come from quite a distance, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, make your journey safe home again, inshallah. Just a couple of closing remarks, if you have, yes. Brother Fizla, Brother Firoz, I'll give you 30 seconds on that.
It's Abdullah, once again, it's a pleasure being here, and I hope we can be of use and benefit to anyone in the community that we can be. Just a point again regarding the cars that you purchase. If you buy a car and if you're going to keep it for a long period, and you're probably a person who probably has your budget and you want to be making sure that you're not wasting money going forward, I think you've got to make sure that you find out what the services cost on this vehicle for the 15, 30, 45, 60, or 90,000. And you have that at you know, they can give many pricing on any manufacturer, will give many pricing for services, and you would know what that car will cost you over that period. Could be good advice to find out what that costs.
Jazakumullah khairan, Brother Firoz. And Jazakumullah khairan to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullah khairan to Brother Usama, who's been our engineer, who's smiling all the time, waving his arms there. I see Maulana Bam is coming back with his baseball bat for me. So Jazakumullah khairan once again for the opportunity. To all our listeners out there, Jazakumullah khairan. We request special du'as. Have a wonderful weekend. Till we speak again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.